the book of Enoch because I know you read it. So for me, it's like, I think that will help with the spiritual warfare, just the information that's in it. And I really think they kept that out of the Bible on purpose for just to keep us down. Because I know we've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare and, you know, that whole spiritual realm. And we know it exists because it talks about it in the Bible, and it talks about that one scripture where, you know, it talks about basically what is surrounding us, and we don't know, and it's all around us, and just little things that happen to us through the day. Sometimes I think we don't realize, hey, this is spiritual warfare, and it's not even like the scripture I was talking about is, you know, we don't battle flesh and blood. It's a spiritual realm. And for me, it's kind of like, because sometimes when I'm going through stuff with my kids or my husband, and or, you know, work or anything, if I don't focus on the person or the problem, I think, okay, what's really going on here? What's really happening? What are they really trying to do to me? And I think it is the spiritual realm.
Yes, I agree completely. I think, yes, the verse that you're talking about, that one's always spoke to me. We battle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities.
Yes.
And just kind of thinking about, like, I would love for you to read the Book of Enoch. I read it, I think, in December. And for me, it was, I would say, one of the most eye-opening or just kind of new experiences for me. Because reading it, I really did begin to believe that this was removed from the Bible. And it's still in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And they're a very old church. I think they were established in like 328 AD.
That's so interesting. So,
yeah, super old. And they're also, they also are the ones that claim to have the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh my gosh. I would love to know about that. Like more about that.
Yes, more about exactly like what it is, where it is. People have been looking at it or looking for it forever.
Yep.
But one of the strangest things is they do have a place there within like their church yards, and someone guards it at all times.
Wow.
But they've claimed to have it for a very long time.
Wow. It's That's very fascinating.
It's very interesting. But they never removed the Book of Enoch from their Bible. It's always remained. And so like when Rome had started Catholicism and they decided to, you know, what was going to go in the Bible, what was not going to go in the Bible, they removed the Book of Enoch. But I really just reading it, and I can't wait for you to read it and see if you have the same experience.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
I mean, there's so many different interesting little things in it when I'm thinking about it, just thinking back on what I read. One of the most interesting things is how it talks about the Nephilim and how God did punish, and the flood was basically to try to rid the earth of the Nephilim. But it did say that the Nephilim would continue to exist. They would continue to exist in spirit form all over the earth. And so really looking at people who have demonic possession, whether you believe in that kind of thing, everybody has different ideas and feelings about things like that. But we certainly believe in that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm even interested in, like, you know, you were telling me, talking about like the UFO stuff, the alien stuff, and people have touched on that thinking that's actually demonic. And that was kind of what you were talking, telling me it made kind of sense after reading that.
Well, I think it's Tucker Carlson that really has talked about it. He even went on like Joe Rogan's show and he talked about how he really feels like it's a spiritual realm. It's demons that are doing these things. So people all over the world, at this point, it's hard to deny. People have these experiences where they see things that cannot be explained. They have the UFO phenomenon. They have the alien phenomenon, the abduction experiences, just several things like that. And there's a really kind of a growing theory that it's related to demons and related to the spiritual realm. And there's quite a few people that are out there talking about it. And there's even a guy who was in charge of a program to basically look into the UAP, UFO phenomenon. And he was sort of a part of a defense team that was working for the United States government. And as part of that, he was digging as deep as he could go. And at some point, officials in the government came to him, stopped him, shut the program down, and told him not to go any further, that it was demonic.
Whoa.
And that it was related to, like, the spiritual realm.
Wow. Well, leave it to the government to keep things hidden.
Yeah. And you can see why they would want to.
Definitely. Because I think a lot of the higher people up and in control of, like, even the government and stuff like that, I think they're into that. I think that's kind of like, they could even be like the children of those children. Like, we don't realize it, but like that very small percentage of the people that are actually in control and controlling stuff.
Yes. Well, in Genesis, and this isn't the book of Enoch, which was removed. Mm-hmm. This is Genesis. It says the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and after, in reference to the flood. So I think that's kind of a really interesting piece to think about.
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, if you, like, of course, we, you know, we believe in the Bible and stuff. So it's like, if you have any, you can't cherry pick and take pieces of the Bible out.
Mm-hmm.
So, which some people did back in the day, but I'm saying, like, you do have to look at that. Okay, what is this? Where are these?
Yeah,
they're still here today.
Yes. Well, and they also, I mean, the way that it explains Nephilim in the Bible and Genesis, it says that they are the men of renown.
Mm-hmm.
And what my mind goes back to are this pantheon of gods that were celebrated throughout the world. And what's really weird and unique about it is, no matter what country you go to, and you look at their history of their gods that they worshiped, they're really similar beings. They'll even have similar associations. Like, you'll have one that's associated with Mars and also associated with war. You'll go to another country where they had no contact, and you'll find a really similar deity that's being worshipped.
Interesting.
So there's something there. There's something there. And I wonder if these beings were a part of that.
Probably so. I mean, you could definitely see the big picture and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think they probably are. But yeah, because that show, I can't remember the show we watched, but it was basically like the unknown, or, you know, he went all around different countries and he was trying, like, they saw these really weird things, like, how was this built or how was this made? They didn't even have the technology.
Oh, yes. Or, Ancient Apocalypse.
Yes.
Ancient Apocalypse with Graham Hancock.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's like, how was this made? And then at the exact same time, totally on the other side of the world, they were doing the exact same things or worshiping things. It's like, that's not a coincidence.
And the way that it would almost always fall back to a serpent.
Yes.
The mounds that he investigated, they would be these serpent-shaped mounds. Or the gods that he would find in South America or in Turkey, they would have these serpent qualities.
It's so crazy.
It's just like, how are these things lining up and adding up?
It's so strange. Very, 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 very strange. It's more, I mean, just to get into that kind of stuff is fascinating. And I just think that a lot of religions don't touch on that. There's some that still do, like the spiritual stuff, but there's tons of religions that's taken a lot of that out.
Yes. Well, and you look at the Vatican hasn't released any rules for the supernatural, I think, since the late 70s until just recently. Mm-hmm. About a month ago, they released updated rules for dealing with the supernatural. And essentially, the way that it kind of was perceived was that they're expecting to have an influx of supernatural reports.
Oh my gosh.
Or reports of people seeing or encountering things. Whether it be a supernatural event involving a UFO type event or a demonic encounter or anything like that. So it's as if they're preparing for something like that.
Oh, I definitely think they are. I mean, the thing of it is, it's like they know something's going to happen, so they want to kind of prepare people. And I know they're talking about, like, the aliens, and of course they talk about alien abductions. And I, you know, I always think back of, like, okay, like, we've talked about this before, but it's like end of times. Is this something that's kind of going along with the end of times? Like, we talked about the rapture, and we're talking about, okay, like, if a whole bunch of people go up in the rapture And they don't have any way to explain it, or they're going to try to want to hide it because, mm-hmm. of course, that will be evidence of Jesus and stuff like that. There's, oh, these people were abducted by aliens.
Yes, it would be an easy way out.
And so if they ever say I'm abducted, Chrissy, by aliens, just know it's the rapture.
Well, hopefully we'll all go up at the same time.
That's true.
But let me tell you, I don't know that I would believe it. If something like that happens and a large group of people go missing, then we know,
yeah.
we know where that really
Wake
is.
Up. People need to know it's the rapture. Don't be falling for aliens.
Yes. And I wonder now that our government and so many other governments are starting to talk more openly and investigate this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And you can see just this little trickle. They're just kind of allowing a little at a time to see if people can handle it. And mm-hmm. it's like a little bit more. Okay, by the way, they're interdimensional beings. They're not from space. So it's like, what does it mean to be an interdimensional being? And that being visits and has an effect in our world, in yes. our realm. What exactly does it mean?
Spiritual. For me, it's all spiritual. Yes. It has to be. There's no other explanation.
And I think there's a lot of history that can back that up.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And we have there's a lot of current investigations that mm-hmm. are happening, or a lot of current research that's being done. They have these people that are doing drugs, such as DMT or mushrooms. And mm-hmm. in particular, the DMT right now, they're doing an experiment where they've got a lot of people and they're on an IV drip and they're trying to maintain this experience for an extended period of time because they've noted that these people are all having really similar experiences.
Weird.
And not only is the experience the same and the people walk away believing in the spiritual, which the majority do, even when they go into the experience atheist, they walk out then having a higher chance of believing that there is something else out there.
Wow.
But also another thing is they encounter the same being. Over and over and over, they describe the same beings to a T. They meet the same things.
That's unbelievable.
It's very weird, for sure.
It's not a coincidence. Let's put that out there. No, it can't. Absolutely not.
And for a university to be researching it and to be digging deeper, and you can even go on to like the subreddit for these experiences, and you're going to see this just list over and over and over of the same experiences. People saying, yes, I did it and I had this experience. Oh, you met them too? Oh, I met them too.
Oh, so weird.
It's super weird. And even stranger still is a lot of people say that even though they grew up in America, mm-hmm. and they grew up with, you know, just kind of an American culture, religion, that mm-hmm. kind of thing, they have very otherworldly experiences a lot of times that draw back to like the Hindu religion. They claim to meet the Hindu gods.
Interesting.
It's very, very weird. And then there are also some that do say they met God, mm-hmm. and they met Jesus. But I wonder if maybe it's not the greatest thing to put yourself into that situation. Maybe you're not prepared for it and we don't know what it is.
I think it can be dangerous, number one, just mm-hmm. because when you're putting yourself, like, we are spiritual beings, and I think we're in this earthly realm, and I do know that, of course, we will be in the spiritual realm when we pass and these bodies go, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like, that's God's design, and even though he tells us we're fighting spiritual warfare, we are here on earth, so it's kind of like, yes, do you want to take that, your subconscious to that world? Is it safe? Because it's like we do have a physical body and yeah. mind. We're human beings on this earth. We might have our soul and our spirit, but we're still humanly people here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of scary to play with that. And, you know, because I do know in the Bible, there are a lot of things we're not supposed to mess with.
Yes.
I mean, you know, like witchcraft or psychics and things like that. We're not supposed to do that for a reason.
Well, what it pops in my mind too is the part where it talks about how when you're, you know, dealing with the devil, doesn't he disguise himself as an angel of light?
That's true.
So I wonder,
deceiver. A deceiver.
Yeah, the father of lies. And so I wonder if sometimes these people walk away having beautiful, you know, feeling like they had the greatest experience, this eye-opening experience, but then you will see other people and the same people like in the Reddit threads. So you will see these people that are like, oh, wonderful, life-changing. And then immediately after that, you will see, I had the most horrible experience ever. Maybe you don't have discernment of spirits, but all I saw was wickedness.
Oh, no.
And all I felt was pain. And there's a lot of people that have had these experiences that come back to the Loosh theory. Have you heard the Loosh theory?
No.
So essentially, it's that we're sort of like in a prison, a matrix, if you will. Yes,
yes.
And there are these things all around us that we cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
And they essentially feed off of our negative energy, or our Loosh. Mm. And that's actually what they feed off of. And so if you think about like the chain, your food chain, we're supposedly at the top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. Nobody eats us, right? Mm-hmm. But it's actually like the food chain hasn't ended. We just don't see our predator. And it just feeds off of our negative energy.
Wow.
And it makes you question it because you turn on the news and you see just negative things.
Isn't that the truth?
And there's just always, as we try to connect and we get higher up and we try to connect with God and we try to connect with that inner self, that inner voice, you will come against this resistance that we all feel and we all know. So it's just very weird when you think about that in comparison to the Loosh theory and the experiences that people are having where they're seeing a spiritual realm.
I think it, you know, because we've talked about manifestation, and when you're talking about that, it makes me think, you know, the negative stuff. And because I've been really kind of diving into that lately and just really working on that on myself. And, you know, we've talked about like the, you know, assuming you have it and basically, you know, ask for it, then just assume you have it, mm-hmm. feel it. And the more I dig into it, it's like, how, you know, do I feel that when I don't see it? Yeah. And sometimes you can feel it, but it's like when you're beat up every day by something and you keep seeing that, okay, this is not in the reality.
Yes.
So I was learning something about basically just the thought pattern, and when, because that for me has been huge, because that's my problem. I basically am positive, I'm full of faith, and then boom, I'll have a negative thought and it just spirals.
Yeah.
So it's like the first thing for me is like recognizing this is negative, recognize mm-hmm. this is not from God. Like, God doesn't put fear in our hearts, God doesn't mm-hmm. put fear in our minds. It's from evilness, and it's like, don't give in to that. So mm-hmm. recognize it. Just like if you have an addiction or an alcoholic, they say the first step to recovery is recognizing that.
Admitting you have a problem.
Yes. So for me, it's like, recognize this negative thought. Be aware, self-aware. And then after recognizing it, come up with your own little mantra, whatever you need to say to stop that negative thought in its track.
Yes.
And I know I was sharing with you some of the ones that I've heard, but for me, I've just came up with my own. They say come up with something like a little saying mm-hmm. or something that resonates with you.
Yeah.
And for me, I was just like, stop. I'm not going to adopt. Like, because when mm-hmm. you adopt something, like we're adopted sons of and daughters of God. So I'm like, I'm not going to adopt this thought. I stop it in its tracks. And then I turn it to something positive. Like, no, I'm not, that's not from God. I'm stopping it. I'm not adopting it. And then I'm going to turn into the positive. Mm-hmm. And I think of when I was at my highest faith level, like my thoughts of the positive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like when you think about the world, you think about God, you think about everything we're in this world, it really all connects together perfectly.
Yes,
it's really all one big puzzle, and we're all part of the puzzle. Yeah. And it's just being aware and self-aware of the world we're living in,
mm-hmm.
not just being like following along with everything. But if you have questions about things, investigate the questions, giving yourself knowledge. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to research things, like the Book of Enoch. It's okay to read that and gain more understanding.
Well, of course, you have to remember that, you know, Jesus came up against the church.
Mm, he sure did.
And he had different ideas, different views. And we have to really follow his word and what he left us with. Mm-hmm. And he loves us. And yes, he wants us to live an abundant life. So he does want us to practice affirmations. And he says, love God with all your heart. And then he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yep.
So he is also wanting us to love ourselves. And I think that that's a great thing for you to have, like, a positive affirmation, mm-hmm. and to kind of notice a negative thought and stop that in its tracks. Those are really important parts that, whether you want to look at it in the psychological, you know, psychology, cognitive behavioral therapy is going to go a similar route.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're going to look at it from the spiritual, it doesn't really matter. Like, yep. it works. And yes. that's why it's stuck around. And that's why there's so much of it everywhere.
Yep. Do what works. I mean, like you said, it could be like the cognitive therapy or the spiritual. Yeah. And for me, I go more the spiritual route just Absolutely. Because it's scripture backed up. There's yes. that scripture that says, you know, think of the good and lovely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, that's what we need to do. It's like, it's right there. Think of the good and lovely. Don't dwell on the bad.
Yes. And don't surround yourself with the negative either. We do have to be so careful not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be so careful not to cast our pearls among swine. We have to be yes. so careful. So it's backed by scripture too.
Mm-hmm.
Just really having that discernment of spirits that I think a lot of us are gifted with, but sometimes we might not give in to it.
Yes.
I think that that's also a really important thing when you're trying to just have a positive journey upwards and you're yep. maybe opening your eyes spiritually and you're starting to realize the world around you.
I think exactly. I think that's half the battle right there, is because right now, everybody, we're wrapped up in our world of like raising our kids and, mm-hmm. you know, working and just trying, you know, making ends meet in this world and worrying about, you know, jobs and worrying about the government. And we're, you know, it's yeah. kind of like you get so wrapped up in your everyday what's in front of my face stuff. You have to step back and just really dig into that supernatural and that spiritual realm of, okay, how can this, you know, help me to make my life better in this realm?
Yes. Where does the supernatural craving come from? We want to watch scary movies, mm-hmm. and we want to read science fiction books, and we are obsessed with the supernatural. We're obsessed with the idea and the concepts. And
I think that's been from the beginning.
And it's like, where does that come from? It comes from the fact that we are supernatural beings.
Yes.
We are not just the flesh and blood. We are beyond that.
We're energy.
Yeah. And so we have this craving to find that. Mm-hmm. And we want to dig deeper and we want to find it. We do have to be careful the routes that we take in order to find it. But, I mean, God is all around us. God is love. He's within us. He's without. He's all around.
Yes.
And so we just have to really look at it like that and see that that's where it comes from. That's why we desire these things, or we feel like we desire these things, because there is an emptiness in our heart without that.
I totally agree. And this might be a little off subject, but just talking about like our words and, you know, speaking life,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not to speak evil. And when I think about that, it's like talking about to myself, we have to do that to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but also to other people around us, like yes. your children, your spouse. It's like, you know, in the Bible, it does say our words have power, like mm-hmm. death and life are from the tongue. Like everything we talk about can either give life to somebody or death to somebody. And it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can walk away from a conversation and someone's lifting you up and you can feel so much better. And or you can walk away from a conversation with someone talking down on you. And that person might not even have a big hold in your life, but it could be a stranger on the street, just, you know, tearing into you or something because mm-hmm. you took their parking spot. But it leaves you with a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely. Like it for the rest of the day, really. So for me also, just that positive trying to speak life. And
yeah.
they always say, don't, like your kids, even if they are being bad, don't call them a brat. Never mm-hmm. call them a brat. Or if they're having a problem, not with lies. Like if they're going through that, sometimes, you know, when they're young, they go through that and they're telling lies, or about the like white lies, and they're like, don't ever say, you know, you're a liar, just always speak, you're a child of truth. And just keep speaking that over them and in your spouse as well. Just speak life into them. And I think that will echo, and what you put out, you will get in.
Yes. And it's hard to do sometimes.
Oh, it's so super hard to do.
So hard to do, because but you're so right.
It's not, it's because it's not ingrained in us. Yes. It's like we do have those spiritual things fighting us all the time. So that's what I said, try to be aware of it. Like, what am I saying? Because it's that's when they'll get us. Even if we're trying to be like, for me, I noticed I was trying to really work on myself and be spiritual, like positive for myself. But then I'd get upset and then I'd say something negative to my child. I'm like, oh, why? So it's kind of like, okay, I gotta stop. Like I need to be putting what I'm trying to work on myself, I also have to put out into the world.
Yes. I mean, everything that we put out is what we get back. So the more good that we put out, the more love that we put out, that's going to be what we get back. That's what's going to attract. And if you're ever trying to attract anything, if you're ever, you're trying to attract great things, you do have to put that out there.
Yes.
Just like a recipe.
Yes.
You have to put that into your life, speak it into your life, act it out into your life. If you're wanting to attract positive things into your life, you're going to have to put positivity out there to get it back. And I think that will help too.
And I think for a lot of people, it's hard too, just growing up in religions, and religions sometimes can be so, I don't want to say negative, but just condemning.
Yeah, you can have really bad experiences. A lot of people walk away with religious trauma.
Oh, yeah. They have church hurt and everything. And it's, I know, you know, we've talked about me growing up Jehovah's Witness and my parents getting out when I was about 16. But it's kind of like my whole life, it was a more condemning thing. It was never life speaking. It was more of, you have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to do that if you want to make it.
Yes.
Basically, for them, it was like to the new system or new world. So it was very condemning and not much love or, you know, acceptance on things. And it was a very judging. So it's kind of, when you're coming from that, it's very hard to flip the switch.
Yes.
Because you kind of just have that mentality in your mind of always the condemning part, when that's not what Jesus came for.
Yes. And a lack of questioning. A lot of times you're not allowed to question anything.
No.
You're told this is the authority. And I just think that we need to sometimes walk away from that ideology and realize that Jesus was the authority.
Yes, he is.
And Jesus did not leave this massive list for us. We're saved by grace. He prayed for us while he was on the cross. He prayed for us all. He died for us all. And he will save us. And we just have to really kind of go back around to that. It is pure love. He came to us with nothing but love.
That's true. And I know we talked about things that happened, and it made me think of when I was 10 and my sister was 16, and we were Jehovah's Witnesses, and she was dating another boy. He was a Jehovah's Witness as well. They met, and she got pregnant at 16. And basically the church, and I don't think this has changed to this day, honestly, but they would like excommunicate, like you would be shunned in front of the whole church. And I'll never forget that she was there too. We were all there. They told us we had to be there. And we were sitting in service, and they called it disassociation. So pretty much she's sitting in there, and my mother, I remember, was just crying her eyes out. And this happened to other people, because I remember another family member, their son was not doing what they wanted him to do. So basically they get up there, the elders, and they just say, they said her name, and they said she has been disassociated with. So she's, no one in the church is allowed to talk to her. No one in the church wants anything to do with her. And I'm thinking, well, how can we still go there? And but my parents, you know, still did for years because I was 10 and we didn't stop. They didn't stop going until I was 16.
Oh my goodness.
But it was horrid. I mean, they announced her in front of the whole Kingdom Hall.
Did they know that they were going to do that prior?
Yes. They said that the elders, when you go before the elders, they said, well, you need to be there. We're disassociating her. So that's what they do, it in front of the whole church and you're there.
And
so that was traumatizing for her. And to this day, honestly, I don't know if my sister ever got over that because out of all the children, there's several of us. Yeah. But she has had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And she's suffered a lot from that. And thinking back, a 16-year-old girl going through that, I mean, it was hard on me. It was hard on, and I was 10, but it wasn't, I wasn't the one being shunned in front of everybody either.
Yes.
But, and for my parents. And it was just very, I don't know if they ever would have taken her back. I really don't know how, or remember how that works. Maybe you can get back into the church. But, I mean, they just, it's like, so you're supposed to lose your whole community. They actually want the parents to disassociate with them as well, but my parents didn't.
I mean, how would that even be possible? And that's kind of,
it looked down on my parents as well. My dad, they told my father that he could never be an elder in the church because of that.
Because his daughter got pregnant?
Yes. So it's just, it was very traumatizing. And it's funny, but now, like, my parents walked away from the church, but they still have never entered into another church. They do believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They went to a little church for a little while, a little loving church for a little while, but that pastor passed away. But they really just don't have a big interest in getting into big religious churches again.
Yeah.
And out of all the siblings, I'm the only one that's actually in church.
Yeah.
Which I find it weird. So I'm thinking, well, I know they believe in God. I know they believe in Jesus. But I just think it's stuff what we went through that they just can't get past that in a way where it's like they are still really in that mindset of this is the church, like God, this is how God is, and the wrath of God, and then all the things that man has put into their mind and man has put into their heart when it shouldn't be that way.
Yes, and I can understand that just because, I mean, I feel very close to God, but I don't attend church, and I haven't attended church in a long, long time. But I really feel a similar kind of feeling. I remember just a lot of condemning. I grew up Southern Baptist. So when I went to church, I do remember a lot of condemning. Just, you know, this is the way it is.
Yep.
You don't question it. This is, you know, how it's supposed to be. You would see things that maybe weren't right in the church.
Yep.
And even with people in the higher up positions.
Oh, definitely.
Leading their lives.
Definitely.
Particularly fantastic. Definitely. And so I think it's hard to step away from the judgment.
Yes.
I think it's really hard to believe that people aren't going to kind of hold some kind of judgment, or I would even say sometimes it's like an authority, like that isn't necessarily from Christ, but sometimes it'll be just an authority over you.
Yes.
And so it is fearful. You are afraid of the elements of like the brainwashing that can happen. Or the, like, just those types of things that can happen. So I completely understand
that situation. Yeah, I totally get it. Like I said, I'm not saying anyone doesn't go to church is not good.
No,
like,
they're
not
godly,
because I know
close.
There's
we
lots of people. There's so many people out there. Probably some of the best Christians don't go to church, honestly. But it's kind of like, it's more of like that church hurt and that, like, where does it come from and stuff like that. But.
Because I totally understand, because I'm married to your brother.
Yep.
And so he grew up with, I would say, his experience with the Jehovah's Witnesses is very similar to yours. And he has a lot of pain there. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's gone away overnight.
No.
We've been together almost 20 years, but it's not something that's healed completely. It's not something that maybe like a year will go by and it's not brought up. It's something that we discuss frequently. It's something that, you know, every birthday that comes around, every...
I think it's a lot of resentment, honestly. Like, because I was like that for a while. I really was. But I think you just, getting past that, it's hard. It's super hard.
Yes. And I think it's just that you do have to have good experiences too. And I'm sure that y'all did have some good experiences. And we've talked about that before, how it did provide your family with like morals.
Yes, it did.
It provided y'all with an outline. And I would say that with my church experience, it provided me with, I had great experiences going to like the church camp and, you know, just friendships that I had made. And so there were a lot of really good things that come with it. Mm. There's a lot of great things that come from the fellowship that can be provided. And I think it is just a process of sort of moving past what and separating what is man, what
is... Yes, I agree.
What is man, what is from God. And I think it also is probably just a lot of finding the right place,
the right fit,
where people feel like
I agree
comfortable.
I agree. For me, it's more of like not going there because it's like I want to hear, or I think that this man is going to, you know, direct me, tell me how to live, because I know the Bible, like I know how I'm supposed to live. And but for me, it's more of a fellowship, it's more of a community. Just through like hard things we've been through with like deaths in the family, they were there. You know, stuff like that. For me, that's what it's about.
Yes. It's like to provide that fellowship and that family.
Yes.
Of people, because you are going to come across people that have very similar experiences as you. You're going to come across people that have similar beliefs. And that's always really, really helpful. But what is it? What are your main takeaways from your church? Like, what do you feel like has helped heal maybe that religious trauma or that pain from earlier times?
I think that my church has just been very, like, non-judgmental. A lot of people that go there have been very open about their struggles, what they go through, and I'm thinking, oh, they're sharing that, like, oh, I would never, because for me it's like I do keep kind of like a face up, like I let people in, but for me to tell like the most private parts of struggles, that's hard for me. Like I can talk to you about stuff like that, but I can't do that, like that's very hard. And but to see others so open to that, and that's been a big thing for me. And I thought, well, if they're able to do that, then, you know, and they're safe, and I don't see them being shunned or anything like that. That's been a big thing for me, just the very openness, the very loving and non-judgmental, and just the realness. Like, our pastor just talks about a lot of his faults and how he's a man, and he does, he admits to lots of things, and for me that's like, okay, well, if he can get up there and share that, then he knows that the only way to really make it is through God and Jesus. I'm not saying he's perfect. There, like I said, there's no perfect people. And I always heard a pastor say, like, if you're perfect, don't come here. You'll ruin the church. Like, because we're all imperfect people.
Yes, that's a good one. And Jesus said, you know, whenever they were asking him why he was with these people, the tax collectors and whatnot, that's what they said. They, he said, is it the sick people that need a doctor? So, I mean, he's always made reference to the fact that he didn't come here for the perfect people.
For me, that's pretty much it. I mean, I can read the Bible and, you know, learn things like that on my own about scriptures and stuff like that. And it's good to get the word. It's good to get the word. But I enjoy worship a lot. Now, that's, I think that's really what draws me in probably the most, and probably the thing I enjoy the most. I'm just really big into worship, and it's weird because I never thought I would be that person. Like raising my hands and stuff, because back when we were witnesses, we just had our little book and we just read like this. And so when we first started going there, over 12 years ago, it was very different. It was very different, but I knew driving by something told me. Now I know it's Holy Spirit, but go there. And, but for me, it's the worship. I love worship. I love praising God. That's that part I just enjoy, and I can just kind of release my love for God and raise my hands now. I don't think anything of it. It's just basically, I used to worry, oh, what are other people going to think or whatever. Yeah. But for me, I don't even think that anymore. It's just how I feel and how I just give it all to God. So for that, for me, that's my biggest, I love church for that. That's honestly when they said, why do you love church? That's why I love church.
I wish I could do that. Honestly, I really do. That's always, but again, going back, we had a little hymn. You had your hymn, you read your hymn, and you know, there was nothing, nothing else outside of that. And so whenever you would see like the Pentecostal churches or things like that, where they're dancing and they're doing all of this, and it's beautiful. I mean, really, it's a beautiful thought. And to be so lost in God and so lost in the Holy Spirit, I think it's an incredible thing. For me, it would be difficult to do that. I've never been able to, just because
it took time.
Yeah.
It wasn't something overnight, believe me.
Yeah. I imagine just takes time to get comfortable.
Yeah, it just takes time.
But
you would get there.
maybe.
So if I can get there, anybody can get there. I truly believe that, because I'm like very shy person.
Yes.
And very reserved. Like, yeah. I don't want to put myself out there. I mean, even still today, like when they have things like to come up at the end, like they'll have not every week, but they'll have things like, you know, come up for prayer or come up if you want this or that. And it's still hard. I'll go up there, but it's still hard. It's like just putting yourself out there. But it's kind of that same thing. I just think, okay, well, this is between me and God and nobody else.
Yes.
So it's kind of like that. That's what I enjoy. And but yeah, it's been interesting.
Well, it's good. It's good that you have a better experience now and that you've healed that kind of peace from when you were younger. And I mean, I hope that I pray that for everybody.
I do too. And I mean, I don't think we ever stop growing, just because what we talked about, I don't know if we talked about it last time, but I know we've talked about it privately, the Holy Spirit. And that's another thing I've really been diving into, because that was actually, we've talked about certain things like that, but then we had a guest speaker last week, and he talked about it. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. But it's kind of like, we do talk about God a lot. We talk about Jesus a lot. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit.
Not nearly enough.
And it's like, you know, we did talk about this a little bit last time, like, what is it? Where's, you know, stuff like that. But for me, just the more I read about it, it's just really God, as soon as we know Jesus, we just adopt that. Like, we take that in. We take that Spirit in. And He's always with us. He never leaves us. Even when we feel abandoned or we feel alone, He's there. And for me, just reading more about it actually does give you more power. And I just like the way the pastor was talking. He was like, the Holy Spirit, it's not about like, you know, a lot of people want to put it on as like, oh, the Holy Spirit is only speaking in tongues, or the Holy Spirit is only being able to prophesy and do this. That's not what it's about. We all have the Holy Spirit if you believe in Jesus.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, yes, you can have gifts, but it's like mainly just knowing that He's with us. He's with us every step of our way. Ask Him to be there with you through things in your life, just like if you feel alone. I just kind of imagine Him by my side. And that's kind of now, that's my thing I do in my mind. He's right here. He's with me.
Yeah,
He's going to be with me. And I'll be able to get through things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we think about just reading through Pentecost or whatever, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But without sometimes even realizing that the Holy Spirit is all-encompassing, all-surrounding, and it actually resides within us.
And I mean, this might be a little, you know, touchy subject, but talking about like speaking in tongues, that actually has happened to me.
Yeah.
And just when I think about it, I'm like, well, this is crazy. But we had a special prayer, and this is several years back. It was a prayer night. And we would get together and they would pray, you know, that you could pray for the Holy Spirit or you could pray for gifts and stuff like that. And I was in the group and I was praying. And they do recommend, like, to get that kind of going, you just pray out loud. Just basically, mm-hmm. You can pray as a whisper, but you still can pray out loud, yes. Not in your mind. So when I was praying, I just felt like basically like my mouth just started moving and my mouth just started making sounds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? I stopped myself because I was like, what's happening? Like, what's really happening? And then it happened again. And then I would stop it. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is after that service, my pastor came up to me and he told me, he's like, Heather, I really felt like something was speaking to you tonight. Like, did you have anything happen to you?
Oh, wow.
And I was not doing it out loud. Like, were people here? Everybody was so loud around me. You couldn't hear my little whispering. Mm-hmm. So he just felt that.
Wow.
And I was like, well, now that you bring it up, this happened. And I was like, what do you think that is? And he's like, Heather, you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what? I have? So it's like a lot of people ask for it and want it, but it's like, oh, it's not happened. But they always say, don't let that make you feel like a less than a Christian, because that's not what it's about. And ever since then, like, I still will. Like, now it comes easier.
Yes.
But it's like I'm not just running around speaking in tongues everywhere. And it's not even something that I can just really like.
Do on command.
Yeah, it's
because
more.
Because it's not you.
Yeah, it's more of just the really deep prayer.
Yes.
And I've done it like over my son, like if he's been sick and things like that. And I'm just like, Mama. I mean, you know, but he's used to it. They're used to it.
Yes.
But it's funny because I have had that discussion with my parents. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, like I said, they went to that little church for a little while, just that it was like a cowboy church and it was an older pastor and his wife and they spoke in tongues. And my parents were just like, yeah, that's not for us. But I mentioned it to my mom and dad, but my dad's too. He's like, I don't believe in that. I'm like, oh, okay. That's whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really, you know, I'm just
you
like.
You can't change other people's
minds. No.
Like,
so
once people have their mind made up, their mind's made up.
But yeah.
I believe in that completely.
But I don't talk to that, Tim, really about
it. Yeah. I saw a report one time. I can't remember if it was like Dateline or 2020, but it was about speaking in tongues. And they took the group of people that just, they had like a placebo group, right? Mm-hmm. So they went under like an MRI and they had a full scan MRI being done while they were just sort of babbling different things. Then they had a group go in that said they could speak in tongues and they would get started and they would speak in tongues. And they analyzed both sets of the MRIs. And the one where they're speaking in tongues was coming from a different part of the brain than the side that was babbling. It was a completely different thing. So to me, that's scientific evidence that is coming from somewhere else.
That's fascinating because I didn't even know about that.
Mm-hmm. I saw that a few years back. It was pretty interesting.
That's fascinating. It really is. And the funny thing is, it's like, because like when we're in a group setting at the church and it's pastor, like he's not just doing it every Sunday because he knows it's a sensitive subject. And it's kind of like we have like our small prayer, you know, they'll ask for stuff like that and do. But it's kind of interesting when you're around other people that do because it's kind of like nobody sounds the same, if that makes sense. It's very different.
Yes. I've heard a story before about a group of people that were speaking in tongues and someone new to the church who didn't believe in that sort of thing was there. And then they came up at the end and they said that one of the people that was up there speaking in tongues was actually speaking in their native language.
Whoa.
And talking about Jesus. And this person at that time didn't believe in Jesus or whatever. So I'm not sure the story of why they were at the church or whatever. I can't remember that piece. But I do remember always thinking that that was a really strange little
thing.
That's
fascinating.
And they converted too.
Whoa, that is fascinating. Because, we don't know.
Yeah, you have no idea what's actually.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. I'll throw that out. So now it's out to the world.
Yeah, good interesting point.